Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this disbursement, if Parliament does not rise this morning.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre dance. Compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obu at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Time check is 5 minutes past the hour of 4 p.m. on a Friday. Welcome to Public Square with Rotimi Sankore. My name is Ezugu Chukwudi. Now, what we do on Public Square is to discuss in detail issues that affect you as a Nigerian citizen. It is really very important that you pay attention to the conversation because the analysis is very detailed. We are big on data, and the whole idea is to give you that opportunity to look at all of the issues from a holistic standpoint, and then you are empowered to make informed choices. Rotimi Sankore does a brilliant job, you know, giving us in-depth analysis of issues that affect us as Nigerian citizens, and today would not be different. Now, today is a continuation of what we started last week. We're looking at the ministerial nominees. You would recall that the president, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, you know, kept to his 60-day deadline of submitting his ministerial nominees to the Senate. And this action was done by the Chief of Staff, Honorable Femi Gbajabi Amila. Now, we have seen, new trends, and there's a whole lot. But what we will do is do a recap from where we started from last week, then carry on with the conversation and give you the opportunity to join in the conversation. Now, what Rotimi Sankore started last week was to explain in detail these ministries and what the expectations are. So, for example, when we talk about the Ministry of Aviation, you have an idea, you know, what is expected of that ministry: agriculture, defense, education, energy, the environment, finance, foreign affairs, health, information and culture, interior, justice, labor and productivity, lands and urban development, mines and steel development, the Niger Delta, petroleum resources, power, science and technology, trade and investment, transportation, tourism, culture and national orientation, water resources, human affairs, women affairs, works and housing, youth and sports development. Now, we started in alphabetical order, but he was very clear about, you know, policies and planning. And I mean, it's clear, if you really want to achieve a lot, you need to have a plan, and not just an ordinary plan, a perfect plan, so that you can go back to the drawing board and see, you know, where you have failed or where you would need to improve if you would want to consolidate. Now, last week, we were able to touch 9 of these ministries. We're going to carry on with this, and I hope that in the first half of the show, we'll be able to complete these ministries. Rotimi, welcome to the show. Hello?
Thank you, Chukwudi.
Yes, thank you so much. Now,
thank you, Chukwudi.
Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. So, because we want to maximize time, I would just like us to just proceed. Now, last week, we looked at, you know, a ministry that was created under the previous administration, Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management. And I had mentioned that, you know, for some people, they looked at this ministry and they said, in practice, it would appear like the disaster management in itself is the ministry in itself. But I would like you to just, you know, look at this ministry before we proceed to others quickly. And hopefully in the second half of the show, we are going to look at the screening exercise in itself with, you know, people questioning the concept of screening. When you look at the person and tell the person, we know who you are. We know you have the capacity. Bow and go. Over to you, Rotimi.
Yeah, Chukwudi, it was really sad to watch this bow and go, thing going on throughout the week. Really, really sad for the country. I mean, you just had former reading the news now saying that the makers of Panadol are leaving Nigeria. I mean, it's an indicator, really, of the kind of pain that is going on. 133 million Nigerians, 63% of the population, suffering the pain of multidimensional poverty. And one of the leading manufacturers of a well-known pain relief medicine, Panadol, deciding that it's time to leave Nigeria. It's just really symbolic. But the point of it is that, you know, it looks like the politicians, especially the politicians in the ruling party, continuing from the last government, don't understand the pain that Nigerians are going through, despite anything they say. This Ministry of Disaster Management, the whole point is to prevent the disaster from happening. The main disaster happening in Nigeria now is that there are about 3 million people, internally displaced persons, in a country that is not at war with another country. And I was mentioning last week that, in case people don't understand the significance of that number, there are, you know, countries like Jamaica, which are well known globally, are just like 3 million people. So the circumstances that have led to the displacement, internal displacement of 3 million people, mostly bandits and extremists and things, are not being addressed. You know, this idea, up till recently, it was 13 million children out of school. A fraction of those children became bandits and extremists and joined militia, started all kinds of insurgency, displaced people. That number then jumped earlier this year to 20 million children out of school, and is about to jump higher. That's the real disaster, because now you are hearing parents who are struggling how to send their children to school, even when government has not built schools. Like in Lagos, 80-90% of the primary and secondary schools in Lagos are private, because the government has not built enough schools to keep up. Now, with the fuel subsidy removal without palliative, schools are sending messages around saying that the cost of the school bus is going to go up. Exactly. If they were charging you 100,000 or 150 for school bus before, now it's 200,000 or 250. Already your income has reduced and you can't keep up. So what's going to happen? More disaster. So the circumstances leading to the disaster unfolding in Nigeria are not being addressed. Instead, the previous government went and set up a Ministry of Disaster Management. And this government is likely to continue with it, because if your policy is going to send more children out of school, what do you think is going to happen in the future? What do you think will happen in the future? So, you know, it is clear that they don't understand the level of pain. They don't understand the amount of pain that they are adding to the entire situation. And this sending a list of ministerial nominees without portfolio shows that they really don't care. Because as we were saying before the program, Chukwudi, if these politicians got on a plane from Abuja to Lagos and the announcer says, welcome politicians to this flight, which will be shortly departing to Lagos from Abuja, we wish to assure you that the pilot was not screened properly, and that when he just turned up for the job, we just say bow and go, enter the cockpit and take off. All of them will flee that plane immediately. Yet they think it's a proper way to run the country. Just put people anywhere you like, compensate them for the role they played in your campaign. Look at all those governors that it's a disaster all over in their former states. Bandits, extremists, insurgency, out of school children, terrible health, everything. About 9 of them are being returned now as ministers. For what purpose? For what purpose? They are working their pension as full pension as former governor. They are going to add ministerial salary on top of it. And what is worse now, we now have a record number that has been submitted. 48 names have been submitted. That's a record high. Under Buhari, it was 42. And people were complaining that it was too much. What are we doing with 42 ministers? For instance, why can't aviation be under the Ministry of Transport? You know, and you can see what happened there. The Minister of Aviation launched a fake airline and is about to get away with it. Whereas aviation can comfortably be under the Ministry of Transport.
So I'm very certain that we are going to get to all of these, but really interesting how you have addressed some of these pertinent issues. Now, let's get back to some of these ministries. And for want of time, I am going to try as much as we can to ensure that we make them very brief. We'll just explain what exactly, you know, the expectations are. For example, when we talk about the Ministry of Transportation, for example, what exactly do we expect? We have 8 minutes, and I am going to try to ensure that we use that judiciously. Now, we have looked at humanitarian affairs and disaster management. Let us go to a very important ministry that, you know, a lot of Nigerians in the previous administration, you know, any information coming from this particular ministry, most likely, maybe because of the perception of the personality who presided over that ministry, you know, many people would take it with a pinch of salt and even begin to trivialize this information. I'm talking about the Ministry of Information and Culture. You would recall that in the previous administration, it was under the leadership of Alhaji Lai Muhammad. You know, some people even did something with his first name. And he even admitted that any information coming from him, many people don't take him serious. In fact, he shared a story with his grandchild, who told him that, you know, I'm paraphrasing now, why do people call you this name and why do they say that you don't speak the truth? Let's talk about the Ministry of Information and Culture and what the expectations are.
Well, I mean, in summary, the Ministry of Information is supposed to be somewhere that information that is necessary for governance is coming out of. However, it has been turned into the Ministry of Propaganda, and that's actually the problem now. Successive governments just find somebody that can propagate as many lies as possible and put into the place as if the government is at war with its own people. That's just the summary of the problem. The Minister of Information should be the most trusted minister in the country, where if something goes wrong, they come out and explain what is happening and what they are genuinely doing to fix it or communicate the governance issues to the country. We are in a position now where once Minister of Information starts speaking, everybody switches off, concluding that, that there is nothing true coming from the fellow's mouth. So that is the real problem. The Minister of Information is not a party spokesperson. Election has finished. You are in government. You are supposed to be informing us of what you are doing to make the country better. So that, you know, in summary, that is the problem with that ministry.
Interesting.
Now, the fellow that is likely to be Minister of Information will do well to learn that lesson. If he starts with a series of lies, within 2 or 3 months, he will discredit himself. Full stop. I mean, now, what has culture got to do with information? Why are those two ministries together? You know, I mean, culture is something completely different. So although we are talking about reducing the number of ministries, culture, why? Why link? Look, if you go to other countries, all the departments under what is called culture, you know, the equivalent of Nollywood, the equivalent of tourism, and so forth like that. Those departments make billions of dollars for their country. Which minister do we know that is promoting tourism in Nigeria? How many people leave their country to come and do tourism in Nigeria? The way Nigerians go to do tourism in other countries? None. You know, is the fellow or the man or the woman in charge of culture, are they investing in Nollywood? Are they investing in the music? Are they investing, you know, in the general development of positive culture? No, they don't even pay attention to it. All of them think that it is the oil money that is to be shared.
Interesting.
So on the one hand, the Minister of Culture has been reduced to Minister of Propaganda and negative propaganda for that matter. And then the culture portfolio, which is capable of generating billions of dollars for the country, has been abandoned. So, I mean, something clearly has to be fixed there.
All right. So we have 4 minutes before the break, and I will try as much as we can to see how we can take three ministries. Let's begin first with a ministry that a lot of people just describe as Ministry of Public Holiday. I'm talking of the Ministry of Interior. Most people, once they see in the previous administration a photo of Ogbeni Rauf Faregbesola with making the peace sign in his white agbada, everybody just knows that there's a public holiday announcement. But there is more to the Ministry of Interior than declaring public holidays. Over to you, Rotimi.
Yes, well, in different countries, Ministry of Interior has different roles. But essentially, the Ministry of Interior is supposed to coordinate things associated with the internal security of the country. In some countries, they call them homeland security, like in the U.S. So they work with immigration, they work with correctional services, and so forth like that. Now, what have they been doing, really, in that respect? On the one hand, you hear them saying that, you know, there is scarcity of passport booklets. On the other hand, they are talking of smuggling. On the other hand, they are talking of jailbreak. On the, you know, what are they doing to fix all? What are they really doing to fix all those things? You know, I mean, that really is the issue. Is the prison that was changed to correctional services? Are the convicts coming out corrected, or are they going to become a bigger nuisance to society? If you look at the prisons, the majority of people there are awaiting trial. Some spend more time than the prison time they would have been sentenced to, thereby creating more hardened criminals. So the justice system is broken. All the people that have occupied that post don't understand their position. If you are arrested for what in Nigeria is called wandering or loitering, which, by the way, shouldn't even be an offense, they take you to Kirikiri. Let's assume that you were to pay a fine of 5,000 naira for what is not an offense, or you are to spend 1 month on some kind of community service. You can be there for 9 years. You can be there for 9 years. I mean, does it suggest that minister knows what they are doing? That when there is jailbreak, they will claim it is enemies of Nigeria. Whereas 80% of the people inside the place have no business being there.
Well, hopefully.
You can see clearly how that system fails. I mean, that's just one example of the things that they should be addressing.
All right.
So that when people come out, they are better educated, they have more skills, and they can contribute more to society.
Very true.
But they fail on that and just declared the public holiday, you know, willy-nilly, sometimes with 24 hours notice.
Yes.
They just declare 2 days public holiday and disrupt the whole manufacturing agenda.
All right. Talking about manufacturing, the next ministry is Industry, Trade and Investment. But we have under 2 minutes. I am very sure that you can make the best of this time. Industry, Trade and Investment.
Chukwudi, this is one of the key ministries in any country.
Oh, nice.
Because together with the Minister of Planning and Policy and the Minister of Employment and the Minister of Education, these are the people that should be the engine room country. I mean, we talk often of South Korea and China being on the same level as Nigeria about 40 years ago. If their ministers of industry and trade were doing what these ones are doing in Nigeria, China would not be the manufacturing hub of the world today. South Korea would not be exporting all these smartphones, tablets, computers and things. So it is clear without needing further analysis that when you compare the successive ministers of industry in Nigeria with those of China and South Korea and other similar countries, you can see it's complete abysmal failure. They don't understand that their job is to industrialize the country. They don't understand it. I mean, what Minister of Industry has done anything outstanding in Nigeria since 1960? None. None. Your job is industrialize the country. Make sure that the young people are skilled in manufacturing technical skills that can generate, you know, goods and services that can be exported, create jobs. That's just the summary of that portfolio. Mm. And when we come back to the bow and go, you can see where the problem is. Mm. Who do we know that they are stealing for Minister of Industry now? Who?
All right. Very, very important question. But we have to step out for a quick break. When we return, we'll carry on with the conversation. Still to come, there is the Ministry of Justice and that position, Attorney General of the Federation in the previous administration. A lot of people had so many things to say about the person who presided over that ministry. There is also the Ministry of Labor and Employment. Then there is Niger Delta, and coming up is petroleum and power. I'm very certain that when we return after the break, we are going to look at these ministries before we look at science and technology, transportation, works and housing, mines and steel development, youth and sports, police affairs, and women affairs. Please stay tuned to 99.3 FM Nigeria Info. When we return after the break, we'll carry on with this very interesting discussion with Rotimi Sankore on Public Square.
Public Square will be right back.
Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
The youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this Bisma, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre dance. Compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Aroho Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back to the Public Square. Time check is 12 minutes to the hour of 5 p.m. I have on the line Rotimi Sankore, and we are discussing the ministerial nominees, the list that was forwarded to the Senate by President Bola Ahmed Tinubu. We have looked at some of these ministries and what the expectations are of the ministries, and we'll carry on with the conversation. We stopped at the Ministry of Industry, Trade and Investment. Let us just go straight to the Ministry of Justice and the position of the Attorney General of the Federation. Over to you, Rotimi.
Yes, Chukwudi. So, I mean, the significance of Ministry of Justice, I mean, cannot be overstated. I mean, two things are crucial in every country. I mean, this is the role of government. The role of government is one, to ensure human development and ensure human rights. Those are, I mean, if you want to summarize the role of government, that's it. Ensure human development, ensure the protection of human rights. Those two go hand in hand. Instead, what you often find is that the government acts as if it is fighting with its people. Every expression of human rights, especially from young people, you see the government trying to clamp down on it. I mean, look at the NSAS matter. The young people were being robbed by a special unit of the police that was supposed to protect them. I mean, can you imagine such an absurdity? A young person trying to make, you know, their way in life. They have laptop, they have smartphone, they have tablet. You are going, and a special unit of the police supposed to, you know, deal with armed robbers is robbing you. And it went on for years. And somehow the Ministry of Justice or the Minister of Justice did not think it was an issue until the young people started to protest. Then the Minister of Propaganda came out and claimed it was the enemies of the government. And then they started attacking social media. I mean, it's, you know, it's something you look at with disbelief, that the Minister of Justice does not understand the meaning of injustice. Mm. So, you know, going forward, whoever is appointed to that position, and there is an argument for the separation, again, while we are making the case for the reduction of ministries, for instance, as I said earlier, there is no point for a Ministry of Aviation. It should be under the Ministry of Transport. I mean, when we come to transport, we'll explain why. But there is a case for separating Attorney General and Justice, because these are two different roles. Mm. Once you merge those two together, you know, the role of standing up for the citizens. So that is why when you commit a crime, a genuine crime or not, that you have been framed for something. When you commit a genuine crime, they say it is you versus the states.
Yes.
But when the state is after you, after committing a crime against you, what happens? What happens? You know? So it is quite clear that there is a misunderstanding of the roles of the Ministry of Justice. The only exception I've seen at the state and federal levels, and maybe because he used to work in a human rights organization, the commissioner, the attorney general in Ekiti State, the former attorney general in Ekiti State, I worked with him in the Civil Liberties Organization, CLO, in the early 90s. I mean, he took up a case on behalf of, you know, women police officers that were being discriminated against because they were women. And they happened to be from Ekiti State. Everybody is familiar with this nonsense of a woman police officer wants to get married, but has to get permission from her boss to get married. But the male police officer wants to get married and doesn't need to get permission. You know? And he felt, look, you know, this is a clear case of discrimination against a citizen of my state. And he took up several cases like that. You know, where have we seen in other states or at the federal level, where anybody in that position, Attorney General, Ministry of Justice, took up case on behalf of citizens against institutions discriminating against them? That is the role of those positions.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting. Let's move to the Ministry of Labor and Employment. And in the previous administration, you know, two people who were in charge had a lot of flak from Nigerians, because many people were of the opinion that they had no business presiding over these ministries. I'm talking of Dr. Chris Ngige and Festus Keamo. Let's look at this ministry and what the expectations are, labor and employment.
So, I mean, you stated it. Ngige and Keamo had no idea what they were doing. In fact, it was worse than that. They thought that their role was to fight the labor movement. Between those two gentlemen, I don't recall that a single job was created in this country. Between those two gentlemen, I don't recall that they understood that their job was to create employment. I don't think they understood it at all. If you are the Minister of Labor and Employment, you should be working hand in hand with industry, with education, with youth development, with planning and policy. Because these are the key areas where you generate jobs. You should be clear, for instance, and you can see Ngige wasn't, does the health sector have enough doctors and nurses? Ngige was a medical doctor, so he was misplaced in that position. But you would think that he should know at least that Nigeria doesn't have enough doctors, since that's where he trained. Instead, he continued with the fallacy that we have more than enough and that they can leave the country. This country has not trained up to 80,000 doctors since 1960. For our population size, we should have 500,000 doctors. If you compare with any other country in the world with our same population size, developed country, that is the ratio. There are arguments now whether we have up to 30,000 doctors left in the country.
Wow.
Yet he was saying we have more than enough. Wow. And he kept on saying that the doctors who were being owed 6 months, 9 months, 2 year salary or arrears had no business protesting about it. You could always see him at loggerhead with the labor movement. So if we don't have a minister of labor and employment that understands that their role is to ensure that there is maximum employment in, go to any developed country. The minister of labor gives you employment figures every month. They say, oh, next quarter, we expect to generate an additional 200,000 jobs. If they exceed it, they say, oh, we manage 270,000. If they fall below, they say, oh, we only manage 220,000. And these are the reasons why. Contraction in this part of the economy. Therefore, the people who don't have jobs, we are going to ensure social security benefits for them. They are going to get support to ensure, for instance, oh, it's winter. They don't have enough gas for heating. They are going to freeze to death. We are going to give them some subsidy there, and so on and so forth like that. So there is a clear misunderstanding of that role. And we must never, never, never going forward have this disaster of Minister of Labor and Employment or Minister of State, people like Ngige and Keyamo, coming to, you know, just coming to fight the labor movement. They think that is their job. No, their job is to create jobs.
Interesting. Let's move to a very important ministry, the Ministry of Niger Delta. There was a lot of furore in the previous administration, especially with respect to the NDDC, that commission, and how, you know, certain people conducted themselves while presiding over the affairs of that commission. Let's talk about the Ministry of Niger Delta.
Well, this is a ministry that should not exist, full stop. You know, look, there are 36 development commissions in this country. They are called state governments. That is their role. There are 774 divisions or commissions for development. They are called local government. That is their role. For what purpose do you need a special Niger Delta? You know, now you can see the absurdity has continued. There is now North East Development Commission, North West Development Commission, and so forth. This is just how people, you know, divert resources that is supposed to go into education, healthcare, industrialization, electricity, and things like that. Those kind of special situations, just shouldn't exist. If the governors and local governments have done their job, what is the role of a special Niger Delta or special Northeast or special Northwest Commission? It is, it's superfluous to need, It's like saying that, there should be a primary school somewhere, and then there is a primary school development commission which is setting up its own elementary school, when the real elementary school itself has not been set up. For what purpose? It's a diversion of funds. They try and spin it as a political arrangement to pacify Niger Delta people because that's where the oil and gas is coming from. And yet those places are not well developed and there is agitation. That's how they try and spin it. But what has NDDC actually done for people in Niger Delta before that you can point at and say, yes, it's just money going missing continuously. Right. Those people have local governments and they have state government and they have federal ministries also supposed to contribute to development there.
All right. Let's talk about the Ministry of Petroleum and the Ministry of Power. In the previous administration, the president presided over this ministry for 8 years. And we saw in his first term, the Ministry of Power, Works and Housing were subsumed into one. In his second term in office, he had to let the power ministry be standalone. Let's talk about the Ministry of Petroleum and the Ministry of Power in 90 seconds.
Yeah, that's not possible, Chukwudi. Let us start and then we continue after the break. The reason is clear. The immediate past Minister of Petroleum failed abysmally in his job. You can't summarize that in 90 seconds. The guy was president. He took the position for himself, supposedly, so that nothing will go wrong there. And we know everything. This current mess we are in now is precisely because the Ministry of Petroleum went wrong. Precisely. No refinery is working in the country. And the president was the Minister of Petroleum for 8 years. By the way, we should mention, if we are not old enough to know, that President Buhari in 78 was what they call Federal Commissioner for Petroleum. That's what ministers were called then before Shagari time, Federal Commissioner. So the guy has held that role before. So he should have known what was wrong, even though that was under a military dictatorship. And then he came back again as a civilian and held on to it again. I mean, there is no accountability in this country. If people should be, held accountable for the failure of the economy, he should be one of them.
Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
The youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this disappointment, if Parliament does not rise this morning.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre dance. Compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to Public Square on 99.3 FM Nigeria Info. My name is Ezugu Chukwudi. Rotimi Sankore helping us with the detailed analysis, and the focus of the conversation is on the ministerial nominees. We've looked at so many ministries and our expectations, or the expectations of these ministries. That way we would be able to compare when we look at those who have been nominated and what their expectations, no portfolio was assigned to these names, what would be expected when they preside over these ministries. Before that break, Rotimi was sharing information on the Ministry of Petroleum, and he would also segue into the Ministry of Power thereafter. So over to you, Rotimi. We have enough time now to look at these ministries in details, and then we will now proceed to the Ministry of Science and Technology. Over to you, sir.
Yes, Shukudi. So continuing on this matter of petroleum, I was making the point that President Buhari, as far back as 1978, was Federal Commissioner for Petroleum. That's what ministers were called then. So having been Federal Commissioner for Petroleum under military dictatorship, you would have thought that, this was before he then planned a coup and seized power from Shagari in 83-84. So even as a young army officer, he was Minister of Petroleum in 1978. So you would think that, maybe he knows what is happening there. Yet as president, he captured that position for himself when he clearly knows nothing about it. And under him, not a single refinery functioned. That is why we are in this mess we are now. Because the Minister of Petroleum could not get a single refinery to function in 8 years. And he also happened to be president of the country. So if anybody should be held accountable for this economic mess, he is one of those people. But yet, he's about to escape with it. I mean, that's the sad thing about governance and accountability. You can destroy the whole country and just walk away scot-free. So the next set of people coming to say, I beg to serve, vote for me. Whether they actually win the election or they manage to rig their way in, they will say, the last people destroyed the economy. I mean, why can't we do the same thing? And then we get away with it. Mm. Now, on top of everything, you can see what happened at the commissioning of the Dangote refinery. I mean, to put it in simple terms, that was for a 419 commissioning. How can you commission something that is not ready to work and claim that, you claim credit for commissioning something that is not ready to work when you could not get your own refinery to work as Minister of Petroleum? I mean, it's just bizarre. I mean, you look at President, former President Trump in America, for trying to overthrow the election results. He's going to face charges. American democracy is not perfect. In fact, there are a lot of things wrong in America. But one thing is for sure, if you abuse office in the place, the likelihood is 50-50, whether, you know, they are going to catch up with you. Hmm. But see now, you know, I mean, subsidy was removed without any plan. Meanwhile, if you look at the gas sector, billions of dollars worth of gas have been flared in this country. Gas flaring should not be happening. Gas flaring should not be happening. Billions of dollars worth of gas has been flared, destroying the whole Niger Delta. Black suits everywhere, cancer, respiratory problems. They didn't do anything about it. In the early 70s, 80s, and even up to the 90s, the oil and gas money is what should have been used to anticipate and build the electricity sector. No, it should have been used to anticipate and build the electricity sector, to build the schools, to, you know, to build all the infrastructure that we need, the railways, all the connected transport nodes, do all the affordable housing and everything. It wasn't done. It wasn't done. Hence, you have several generations of ministers who essentially failed in government, but because they held government position before, you see them flying private jets, owning 10 mansions across the country, 10 mansions outside the country, because all the petroleum money just disappeared into their pockets.
Mm. Wow.
So, I mean, whoever is going to be Minister of Petroleum, I mean, the person, I mean, first of all, we are happy with the screening method, because we don't know whether the person they are going to appoint is even qualified, like the former one, whether they have any idea what to even do in that position. Mm. Do they know how to get a refinery to work?
Very important question.
You know, so it's quite clear what the big problems are there. You know, for the past, since 1960, oil and gas should have been the big propellants of industrialization. That's what should have been invested in: heavy industry, in infrastructure, in railway, in electricity, in education, in healthcare. While the oil boom lasted, the whole thing was squandered.
Interesting.
The whole thing was squandered, yeah. And up to today, not only has it been squandered, it has put more Nigerians into poverty. So the very thing we are supposed to be benefiting from, in fact, is causing more economic problem for us. So it will be interesting who they are going to appoint to that position, whether the person has any clue what he or she is supposed to be doing there. Should have been done should have been, that oil and gas should have been used to develop the country over the last 40, 50 years. And they failed abysmally in doing it.
Let's talk about power now. The Ministry of Power. Go on.
Go ahead.
I was going to mention that in the first term of the previous or the immediate past president, the Ministry of Power, Works and Housing were collapsed into one. I mean, the minister at the time was described as a super minister because a lot of people looked at the powers that anybody presiding over these ministries would wield. And you know, you have mentioned certain ministries and why, looking at the time now, and if we talk about cutting costs, some ministries should be absorbed into certain ministries, basically because the functions are one and the same, or it would allow for better coordination. Let's talk about the Ministry of Power.
Yeah, I mean, this is one area in which clearly nobody that has been appointed to that position since 1960 understands anything they are supposed to be doing there. So we are back to this question of appointing people. First of all, we have to look at the big picture. What has been the ideological disposition of all the governments we have had in Nigeria? Do they understand the role of power in industrialization? If they do, they would have fixed that problem long time ago. I mean, let us start with the ABC of it. The global standards, if you are a regular listener of Public Square, you will know. The global standard is 1,000 megawatts per 1 million people. Therefore, Nigeria should be at least 200,000 megawatts. We are at 5,000, sometimes 4. When the grid collapses, it is zero. We have an installed capacity, that is the capacity to generate maybe 12 or 14,000 megawatts, but we can't get there because it can't be transmitted. So we always talk at 4 to 5,000. So we have a deficit of 195,000 megawatts, at least. I always give this example. Qatar, where the World Cup has just been played, the men's World Cup, is roughly the same population as Alimosho local government in Lagos. They have 10,000 megawatts of electricity. 10,000 megawatts. That's why they could play World Cup in air-conditioned stadium. So, I mean, once you look at that, you can start to see where the problem is. I mean, the Manufacturers Association of Nigeria, they complain ad infinitum about this problem. The Lagos Chamber of Commerce complain about ad infinitum about this problem. That the amount of money they spend on diesel and other forms of, you know, private generation just robs them completely of the resources they could invest in employing more people. And it also increases the, you know, the cost of goods. Now, I mean, remember the nonsense that happened under President Jonathan when the guy appeared on CNN and was telling Christine Amanpour, there is light everywhere. Go and ask them. Who was he referring to? I've never seen such nonsense in my life before. The president of the country where there was no light was telling CNN, there is light everywhere. Go and ask them. Because they've isolated themselves from the problem. They have their own private, you know, generation capacity based on government resources, both when they are in power and when they leave power. So they have no clue of what should be happening. The only good news I can say there is that, you know, the new act for electricity and power generation now gives the states the capacity to generate and transmit. Now, if the power minister, whoever the person is, knows anything about that, the first thing would be to call all the state governors and their equivalent commissioners for energy to say, okay, guys, going forward, we've had a disaster zone. Going forward, can each state at least try for 5,000 megawatts? At a minimum, Lagos should be at 20,000. But can each state strive for at least 5,000 megawatts? Then you multiply by 36. Then you can see that jobs, industry, everything will start to grow. So, you know, and that is the thing. If you go to Europe, Germany, just from October now, there will be hardly any sunlight in Germany until February or March because of winter. But they are renewable from solar and wind is almost 40,000 megawatts. Here we have sunlight from morning to night. And there is, you know, I mean, what is the input of solar into the grid? First of all, we shouldn't have one grid. We should have multiple grids at the regional and state level. This nonsense of national grid collapse is a complete anomaly. So, you know, the energy generation, you know, it will start from the state level. And, you know, this idea of saying that a private entity cannot generate over a certain level. Why? You are not providing it and you are capping it. And say if they generate, you will find them. So whoever becomes in charge of power has to understand what is the standard. Where should we be? What is the deficit? One of the ministerial nominees who was a former governor of Kaduna State came there acting as if, you know, the guy is a quantity surveyor, and he came there acting as if he was being nominated for power. And he was still talking in this paradigm of we have installed capacity of 14,000 megawatts. 14,000? The guy can't even see the big picture that we should be at 200,000, and we're at a deficit of 195,000. So this is a problem of scale. If they don't understand the deficit, how can they solve the problem?
Very important question. If they don't understand the deficit, how can they solve the problem? From power, let us move to the Ministry of Mines and Steel Development.
Well, Chukwudi, the less said about that sector, the better. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows the disaster called the Ajaokuta Steel in this country. Wow. Since the 1970s, since I was a schoolboy, money has just been poured into that place. What is hard about steel? What is hard about it? Nothing. Nothing. You get the raw material, you reinforce it, you cast it, and then you use it for all the different needs. It's like Lego blocks. Yeah, honestly, it is just that simple. It's just a giant chemistry set. Yet, money just keeps on going in, going in, going in. Nothing is coming out. It's what they call in Yoruba, obe. People are just working continuously there. Nothing good is coming out of it. I mean, what is hard about setting up a giant chemistry set? And when you talk about the mines, well, I mean, when you see them talking, they say Nigeria is blessed with a lot of natural resources. Okay, which one are we utilizing now? Which one are we utilizing? Is it the gold? Is it the copper? Is it the diamond? I mean, which one? Instead, what you have is artisanal mining, small scale, or sometimes criminal enterprises engaged in the mining. So, I mean, you can just see the complete misunderstanding or lack of understanding of mining is a sector that easily can generate 1 million jobs in the entire value chain. At least 1 million jobs. Look at all the mineral resources that we have in Nigeria. At least 1 million jobs in the entire, from the mining itself to the processing, to the, you know, refining, the packaging, the exporting, the, you know, Chukwudi. Honestly, if you say you want to cry for Nigeria, where are you going to start? Where are you going to start? Somebody will say they are president since 1960. They will take somebody that knows nothing about anything and put the person there and say Minister of Mines. The country is just collapsing every day. Pain everywhere. Pain. Pain for millions of people. Pain of education, pain of health, pain of food, pain of getting to work, pain, pain, pain. Yet, the potential for the job is there. The potential for the industry is there. Google is your friend. Just check
the
amount of national resources we can be mining in this country.
True, very true.
I mean, what are we going to say happened there?
Very true. It's interesting that we're having this conversation, and I am sure that a lot of Nigerians would have a broader understanding of these ministries and what their expectations are. And as a people, when we continue to ask questions or make demands, our representatives will know that we are not going to allow them just take us for a ride. Let us move forward. There is the Ministry of Special Duties and Intergovernmental Affairs. Some people look at this ministry and just say, it's an example of a ministry that we should not even have in the first place.
It shouldn't exist.
Special duties, intergovernmental affairs.
That's the job of planning and policy now. That's just one role of planning and policy. Intergovernmental affairs. That's the person. Planning and policy should be coordinating. Planning and policy should see. Look, like I said last week, when Jack Onde was about to come to government, into office, the first person he appointed was his planning guy. And he said, give me a plan. This is what we want to achieve in Lagos. We want to achieve X housing. We want to achieve X healthcare. We want to achieve X transport. We want to achieve X education. We want to, this is the deficit. How are we going to fill the gap? Give me a plan. So that in the first cabinet meeting, you present to the commissioners and say, this is the plan. Everybody understands their role. That's why it is called cabinet. You can't just come there and just start misbehaving, firing your mouth left, right, and center like in Gige and Co. The cabinet must have a plan. It's collective responsibility. And your planning person is the chief architect.
Very true.
Of governance and development.
Very true.
So when you say you have minister of special duty, what was the person doing? Which special duty is the person doing?
Very important question.
Which coordination? If the planning and policy people know their work, which coordination is that person doing? That's a meeting that should just be scrapped completely.
All right. Let's move on to this next ministry. For a lot of Nigerians, you know, Ogbonnaya Onu in the previous administration was the minister for 8 years. He presided over this ministry. I'm talking about the Ministry of Science and Technology. For so many Nigerians, they would say there's nothing scientific and technological about this ministry. But over to you, Rotimi. What are the expectations of the Ministry of Science and Technology?
Well, I mean, like I said, science and technology should be working with the Ministry of Industry or Industrialization and Trade. Again, let us give that example so that it is clear that we are not talking nonsense. We have seen it happen. Again, South Korea, China, 35, 40 years ago, were on the same level as Nigeria. The investment in science and technology and engineering and education is what made the difference. Full stop. That's what made the difference. The training in primary school, in secondary school, the provision of computers, the skills training, the precision engineering in those countries that either makes the rest of the world go there to manufacture or for them to manufacture their own goods and services and exports. Full stop. So if the Minister of Science and Technology cannot understand that this is what drives industrialization. I mean, look at somewhere like Aba, for instance. You know, I mean, look at Ariaria Market. Look at what people are doing with their hand there. Bags, shoes, all kinds of things. But Chukwudi, do you know that in those places, people are still using kerosene stove. Kerosene stove to do the glue for the bag and shoes in those places. Because the investment in electricity and the technology has not been made. But see what they are achieving there. Even with their own small level of innovation. If that investment in science and technology had been done for people that can even demonstrate innovation, not to talk about the rest of the country, we won't have to be, you know, importing all these things now.
Very true.
You know, we don't need to mention the brand, but if you are holding a smartphone in your hand today, the chances are it came from South Korea or China. If you are holding a tablet, if you are holding a computer, even the biggest brands in the world like Apple and Microsoft are most likely manufactured in China. The biggest cars, airlines, ships, trains. Yet, if you just step outside Nigeria, Chukwudi, you know, I lived and worked out of Nigeria for about 20 years. Step outside Nigeria, you will see Nigerians contributing different parts of the world. Different parts. During the COVID epidemic, one of the leading vaccines for the COVID was developed by a Nigerian that studied in Nigeria. He was part of the lead research team that developed one of the global COVID vaccines. If he had been in Nigeria, the guy would have been on strike in university because no budget for the lab. So this is what people don't understand about the university, polytechnic, and ASU and things like that. This is where people should be learning all these things. I gave an example on World Youth Skills Day that in places like China, secondary school children, their homework is to go and build computer. They give you assignment. Next week, you are building a computer with 16 gigabytes of RAM, 1 terabyte of hard drive, so-so processor speed, you know, so-so screen resolution. So secondary school children.
Interesting.
Sometimes you go and buy the parts in the market. Sometimes the school gives you the parts. In which university is that possible in Nigeria now?
Well, hopefully in the current administration, when we do the right things, we are going to be able to look at these ministries and see them function as they should. Now, we are down to the ministries of transportation, works and housing, youth and sports development, women affairs, and police affairs. But we are pressed for time. When we return from the break, we'll carry on with the conversation. Stay tuned to 99.3 FM, Nigeria Info.
Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
The youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To be a state of dismal if Parliament does not rise this morning.
And controversial.
If driving to the roads is a getting the macabre dance. Compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obu at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome back to the Public Square with Rotimi Sankore. My name is Ezugu Chukwudi. We're looking at the ministerial nominees with special emphasis on the ministries and the expectations of these ministries. This is the second part. We started last week and we have looked at nearly 37 ministries. We have about six ministries: transportation, water resources, women affairs, youth and sports development, police affairs, and finally, works and housing. Rotimi, over to you. Let's just quickly look at police affairs. Then we would look at youth and sports development, women affairs, works and housing. And I am very sure that you have a whole lot to say about the Ministry of Transportation. But first, police affairs, over to you.
Yeah, I mean, Chukwudi, that ministry should not exist. You know, it should just be under internal affairs or internal security, along with customs, immigration, correctional services, and so forth. There is just no point in it. The only reason it exists as a standalone ministry is because of its disposition to be abused at the federal level, to be used to create a police state, you know, effectively to police citizens, you know, and misuse the police, you know, as a political tool. If not, it should just be scrapped and put under internal affairs or the Ministry of Internal Affairs, and that should just be that.
All right.
You know, I mean, the next one on the list is
women affairs.
Yeah, I mean, so actually, what we need is a ministry for equality and equal opportunities. You know. And, you know, and gender should be a big part of that. Because, I mean, the reason I put it that way is that it currently, as exists, the Ministry of Women Affairs is where they, you know, send women party leaders, you know, to go and organize women's meetings. But if you look at the question, the problem of Nigeria, the problem of Nigeria is a problem of inequality. And one of the biggest forms of inequality is gender inequality. If you look at poverty, poverty is highest where the most women have not had any education and have been robbed of their opportunity and aspiration. So what you really need is a ministry for equalities. The Ministry of Inequalities will have a broad, you know, a broad task of ensuring that all inequalities are minimized, and gender inequality has to be a big role there. That way, it can be structural. It can interface with all the ministries to ensure, for instance, that women have paid maternity leave, for instance, you know, that women are not cheated. We are talking about the Ekiti State Attorney General, for instance, taking up a case for female police officers, challenging the Inspector General to say, how can it be that women police officers that want to get married have to get approval from IG, but the male police officers don't need approval from the IG? You know, all kinds of structural discrimination.
Hello? Hello, Rotimi. Oh, something about the connection. Hopefully, we can reconnect and carry on with the conversation. Yes, I'm hoping that we can reconnect with you and continue with that conversation. But Rotimi Sankore was explaining in detail the responsibility of the Ministry of Women Affairs. And he's saying, if you look at this ministry, it would appear like for some people, it's to just compensate certain women leaders in the ruling party. I hope you're back now. Rotimi?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you can quickly wrap up on that. Then we'll look at youth and sports. The reason why we are taking these ministries towards the end is because these are specific to certain cross-section of the society. And it's really important that the ministries get it right this time around. Carry on with your thoughts.
Yes. I was just making the point that, you know, the Ministry of Women Affairs presently constituted is just for women party leaders to, you know, to felicitate with first ladies of the states and, you know, and things like that. No, if we want to end gender inequality, you have to streamline it, you know, through all the ministries. They have to understand all the places where women are being cheated in the country, where women's rights are being taken away from them. And a ministry for equality, you know, must have the mandate to, you know, enter into anywhere and say, no, there is inequality against women here. There is inequality here. You know, this has to end, you know, whether it is maternity leave, whether it is unequal opportunity, whether it is in education, whether it is in the nonsense that women cannot bail you if you commit an offense, you know, things like that. So we need a ministry of equality, you know. So, I mean, that's that. I mean, we have to summarize quickly.
All right.
I mean, for the Ministry of Youth
and Sports.
yes. Well, I mean, this is somewhere where I really don't understand. I mean, the former Minister of Youth and Sports used to be a colleague of mine when we were working in the News and Tempo, you know, in the 90s. He's the former journalist, you know. And I actually thought this Sunday, Dari, and I thought that he would have understood and made a case to say, oh, well, you know, it's the youth that mostly participate in sports. But the youth development is not based on sports. The youth development is based on education and skills acquisition. That's what builds the future of the country. We talked about it. Science, technology, engineering, maths, entertainment. Look at all the young people in the entertainment industry. They are doing it themselves. There is no school of performing arts that has been set up. Go to America. You see school of performing arts in almost every state. That's where people hone their skills, acting, singing, dancing, things that bring billions of dollars to America, for instance, or to Europe. The young people are being left to do it themselves. There is no investment in it. Which state government is investing in youth development, science, technology, you know, mathematics, engineering, arts, singing, you know, and so forth like that? Which one? Which amount are they investing? You know, this is something that should be done at all the state level and at the federal level. But, you know, they make it look as if it's for NYSC, you know, let's bring one talking youth and put somewhere and so forth like that. That's not what it should be. And for a country where the medium age is 18, to put it crudely, half the population is under 18. 43% of the population is under the age of 16. You see, if you don't develop the youth going forward, what you are going to have is multiple conflict and war zones around the country. Full stop. You know. And as for sports, well, there's a complete misunderstanding as well. I mean, you just look at Europe or America. You know, if you look at the U.S., you see basketball, you see baseball, you see American football, they've added soccer to it.
Yes.
You know, everybody knows about the English Premier League. If you invest in sports at the school level, primary, secondary, and then you invest in the infrastructure, the stadium, the training, and all those things, after some time, you know, it will start to yield money. Here in Nigeria, we are paying millions of dollars every year as individuals to consume Premier League only.
Premier, whether it is in subscription to cable TV, buying the jersey, and so forth, you just turn to Femi and the gang in the evening and just see what is happening there. It's all about Premier League, you know, the Italian one, the Spanish one, and so forth like that. What, you know, what is the investment in our own sports here? Instead, you just see massive corruption in the sports sector. Money is allocated, but the football players have to find a way to charter the plane to get to the World Cup because Mikel Obi had to pay the hotel fees and pay half the charter for them, you know, to land there the day before their first match. All the money has been allocated, though. You know? So, I mean, sports and youth development, two different things, but completely mismanaged as they are.
Interesting. Hopefully, we'll get it right because, I mean, the president has spoken daily about investing in young people. And if we look at Nigeria's population demography, we have to make the best of our youth population. I almost forgot water resources, and this is very important. Water resources, the Ministry of Water Resources.
What? I mean, we talk a lot about water. I know we have talked about, and so we talk a lot about water in this country. Just look at clean, safe drinking water. Every local government should have 1, 2, or 3 water treatment plants. If you go to developed country, that is why in every building, there is pipeline water going into every building. Because there are 1, 2, or 3 water treatment plants in every local government. Here, the complete failure to do that, especially at local government and state level, has led to the sachetization of the water economy, where people buy the, absurdly misnamed pure water and cause all kinds of problems, plastic bottle and things. If we are 20 million in Lagos and each person is consuming, 3, 4, or 5 sachets of water or water bottle, just multiply that. 20 million times 5 in a day. That's 100 million pieces of plastic. In 10 days, you have 1 billion pieces of plastic. In 10 days, 1 billion. And at the end of the month, you have 3 billion. It's not being sorted. It's not being recycled. Just open any gutter anywhere. Just put your rake and pull it out. You will just get sachet, plastic bottle. And we are not talking of the sachet ogogoro here, the sachet milk, the sachet detergent, and things like that. And that is just one disaster in the water resources sector. We are not yet talking of the disaster of water resources or lack of it for irrigation, for farming, and so forth like that. So clearly there is a complete lack of understanding about the multiple uses of water. Water for industry, etc. like that. I mean, to jump quickly to transport so that we can take some calls.
Yes.
When earlier we said aviation should be scrapped and put under transport, the Minister of Transport needs to have a dashboard on their wall, electronic dashboard, where they say, if you land a plane at Murtala Mohammed Airport in Lagos, these are the train connections from there. Just land in any developed country. The first thing you see is the direction to the train station. That's the first thing you see. Go to any shipping area like that. The first thing you see is direction to the rail, how the rail is carrying the goods across the country. All the bus routes are connected to train, connected to air. The person can see the dashboard. They know roughly how many people are moving between each local government to another, within each state to another. That's how the thing is planned. Most of the public sector jobs in developed countries are based on transport. Instead, here is left to individual danfo, individual keke. It's just mayhem everywhere. The local airport in Lagos is not even connected to the international one. Come and see, just time wasting. In a developed country, you should land at international, enter the mini train, connect you to the local, you take your flight and go. You have to take your bag, you have to check out, you have to enter Lagos, go slow, you have to go through the toll gate, before you get there, the flight to Abuja has gone. So, the complete lack of planning in transport is a disaster. You can see it, trailer everywhere, wrecking the roads, just rainy season, the roads disappear. the weight of the trailers is too much for the roads. Tankers collapsing left and right, petrol spilling all over. I mean, it's just lack of planlessness. It's lack of planlessness. I mean, it's planlessness. It's lack of planning.
We have done great justice to 28 different ministries in 2 weeks. Finally, we have works and housing, but we are pressed for time, just a little over 1 minute. I don't know if you can quickly do a summary so that we can just wrap. I'm very sure that we'll carry on with the conversation.
Well,
because
the
screening is still ongoing.
The guy was there before said there is no... The guy was there before, the former governor of Lagos said there is no low-cost housing because there is no low-cost material. Ask him how they do it in China or how they do it in other developed countries. I mean, housing is always a pressing problem in any country. But in Lagos here, you can see Jakonde made efforts just by planning. So it is possible to do low-cost housing. Without it, you are going to have mass homelessness.
Mm.
Full stop.
Interesting. I mean, we are very pressed for time, but I am super excited because we have used the opportunity to look at all of the ministries. And these ministries were... In the last 4 years of President Muhammadu Buhari, there are 48 ministerial nominees today. If we go by these ministries or we go by the substantive minister and minister for state, it would appear like some ministries would be created newly under this dispensation. But we would wait and find out these various portfolios and what exactly some of these people would preside over. But thank you so much, Rotimi, for the detailed analysis and very, very informed, background to the conversation. Thank you so much.
Yes, Chukwudi. I can see some people asking, you know, they say they want to listen to last week and this week, Napoleon Semuji on Twitter. I mean, we'll get the podcast team to upload everything. Kilanko J on Twitter as well, saying that, you know, in his village in Oyo, there is a suspended bridge which attracts millions in terms of tourism, and nothing is... A lot of engagement on Twitter, which we can't go into.
All right.
You know, the discussion never ends. I'm at Rotimi Sankore on Twitter, and the station is at Nigeria Info FM. You know the slogan, let's talk.
Yes.
It just continues throughout the week.
Exactly.
You know, Hard Facts, Morning Crossfire, Public Square every Fridays. So please engage at Rotimi Sankore at Nigeria Info FM.
At Rotimi Sankore at Nigeria Info FM. Please engage. The conversation never stops. Thanks to everyone tuned in from 4 p.m. We hope that you have learned something really very important and you would be paying attention to the ministerial screening, the screening of ministerial nominees and, you know, events unfolding from that particular action. On Public Square, we bring you detailed analysis, bring you information that would help you make informed choices when you want to contribute your quota to nation building and national development. Stay tuned to your number one radio station for talk, 99.3 FM, Nigeria Info.
The Public Square.